good morning, everybody. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you guys and to all those watching online with us as well. I can't imagine you not already being moved by this service, by what we heard in Amy's testimony in the baptistry, and just that life alone touched my heart. The worship of our team moved my heart. My prayer is that God's power is going to come on you today, this morning. I'm praying that his power comes on me as well. And I just want to welcome you to the most pivotal, most defining events of all time. And that's the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last time, yeah, amen, that's right. Last time I wore a shirt that was tucked in here at the church, someone said, what are you doing, going to a funeral today? I said, actually today I'm going to a resurrection. It's a celebration of a resurrection instead. We just finished a 10-week building character series, and you wouldn't think that today's subject would be about our character. But what we're going to talk about this morning adds into our character, giving us the courage that we need to live this life. It's called resurrection power. And resurrection power is what all of us have available to us. It's available to any of us. We probably never think about resurrection power within us. Even as a follower of Jesus, if you are one, you probably don't think much about the resurrection power that you carry around within you, but we need to think about it. Every follower of Jesus not only has resurrection hope beyond this life, but you have this power in your life, and I want you to try to grasp that. It's not some superpower. It's not Power Rangers power. It's not Harry Potter power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrected Christ. It's not a power you can go and zap people with. Don't try it. It's a power that you can influence all the way to the cross to show people how much God loved them and how much he was willing to save them, just like Amy shared in her testimony. So while it might seem like an abstract focus, actually we need to learn to walk in this power and live by this Spirit. And my prayer is that that's what happens for you this morning. And if you're seeking this morning, my hope is to simply encourage you to listen well to the stories and the testimonies that we're going to share, so that the empty cross that you just saw, all those people carrying up, those people who participated in carrying that cross up the hill, many of them are newly surrendered followers of Jesus, and they were recruited to take that cross and plant it on a hill that has this amazing view. But it's a symbol of our real hope, because the cross is empty. It's not a crucifix. A crucifix still has Jesus hanging on the cross. I've got good news. He's not on the cross any longer. He's not there. In fact, his body would never be found in the tomb. And those who went to the tomb in their innocence to care for his body following his death were shocked that he wasn't there, and the angel rumor mill made an official statement, and here's what they said: why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. And that's no rumor, that's the truth. That's what we believe, and the question is, do you believe that this morning? And if you're saying, I'm not sure if I do, I'm just checking this thing out, again, my hope is to add to your search with credible testimony, eyewitness accounts to back up the resurrection. The resurrection power God displayed in the raising of his son from death to life has taken on a lot more personal meaning for me as of late. In 38 years, I've preached a bunch of funerals, but never has this taken on such deep meaning to me than in the past few weeks. Losing a childhood friend to cancer really quickly, my age, Although he's a follower of Jesus and a pastor, so he's home free, he's doing really great right now. Positive of that. And then losing my mother-in-law about a week and a half ago. And the same is true for her. And so what all this has done is tested the sincerity of my belief. Do I really believe that if you're a follower of Jesus, that you move from life to life, there is no death in between? That's the truth. But do I believe that? Well, of course I do, especially now that I have people that I love and cherish who have gone on before me that were a lot closer to me than many others. Death, listen to me on this, because we're all going there, hovers around about 100%. Death, he's coming or we're going, one or the other. We've said that many times. Just hear me on this. Death is simply the crossover point to experience this wild truth called eternal life. And I think we think our lives are long here, and we're trying our hardest to prolong our lives for but a few more years. I mean, congratulations if you push it from 81 to 87, or maybe 95. But that's, our lives are just a pinprick on the canvas called eternity. If you think of that wall as eternity and just a pinprick, which you would never be able to see, our lives represent the pinprick. Eternity is broader than we can imagine. So don't miss this, even though it's easy to be impressed here on the earth. After all, you can turn up your heat with your iPhone. You can start your car with the same phone. You can do almost, you can pay millions of dollars to take a rocket ride into orbit and see the curvature of the earth, or you can wait till you die and see it all for free. Yep, that's right. Eat your heart out, Elon Musk, right? I mean, hey! He's trying to buy Twitter, you know. Anyway, so, woohoo, yeah. Hey, it's gonna be great. Sometimes we forget how great it's gonna be because we're so stuck here. We think so much about here, but here is not at all there is. It's gonna be great. And I know Christians, we simply believe in the resurrection. We always have for years and years, decades and centuries. But I don't know if we understand its power. It's called resurrection power for a reason. If you're only searching for the truth, it might be helpful to know the resurrection power of God was on display before Jesus ever rose from the dead. And this resurrection power and proof is so important that without the power and proof of the resurrection, you are hopeless, and so am I. And we know hopeless people. And some of you may feel hopeless yourself. I just want to make this really bold statement. You don't need to feel that ever again if you put your hope in Christ. I believe that with all my heart. Our hope is not in humanity. It's not in a prolonged life. Our hope is not in recovery from addiction, although sobriety this side of heaven is an amazing accomplishment. Yes, it absolutely is. Our hope is not in being cancer-free or financial stability, although both of those are desired this side of heaven, true? But that's not what we put our hope in. While all of these add a sense of hope, and they should, they are still temporary for only as long as this life lasts. Only Jesus and his resurrection power can provide you with a hope that lasts. I mean, I think it's great, all those accomplishments you've had in your life, and maybe those I've had in mine, and all the things we've constructed, and all the things we've done, but all that is so temporary, and so, I'm sorry to say, so minor in comparison to what God has planned for you and for me. Hope that lasts. We're talking eternity kind of hope. That's powerful. That's beyond a rocket ride into orbit. So without the resurrection of Jesus, there would be nothing to celebrate on Easter. You might as well go home, no brunch. Forget about it. But it's more than brunch, isn't it? If you really process who you are and what's going to happen to you when your life is taken, when your tent cord is drawn up, as the Bible says, then what? And you'll want this resurrection hope, I promise. This resurrection power, you're going to want that. So do I. Paul makes a case for it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. So there you are, you big sinners. People hate it when we call people sinners. Hey, you know what? That is who we are. That is why we needed a Savior. And it's very easy to say, I'll take that Savior for 200. No, I'll take that Savior. It's so much more difficult to say, I'll make him my Lord. True? Way harder. It takes people with some grit and determination and surrender to dig in and say yes to Jesus being Lord. So there's evidence and there's the miraculous for our hope found in the resurrection. And earlier I shared that the resurrections from the dead were not limited only to Jesus according to Bible history. And the Bible is considered a historical document. And by the way, it's way more than that. The Bible is power. It's also a form of life. So we're going to look at some examples of resurrections from the dead. And by the way, if you believe that God is the one who created the little tiny 3-ounce bird and put a heart in its chest and it can fly, and then you also believe that God created us, created you, and created me, and he formed us in our mother's womb, if you believe that, it probably won't be quite as difficult for you to believe that God could raise someone from the dead. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are the accounts of Jesus' life, his birth, death, burial, and resurrection. But prior to the resurrection of Jesus, there were resurrections that occurred. I'm just going to do an honorable mention. Like way back when the prophets were walking the earth, a prophet by the name of Elijah raised the son of a widow from the dead. And you can read that story in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah's successor, Elisha, the prophet, raised the son of a Shunammite woman from the dead in 2 Kings 4 in the Old Testament. You can read that. There's a historical account of those resurrections. And these were miracles from God. Resurrection power from God, the kind of power that we have within us if you're a follower of Jesus. And there were resurrections performed by Jesus during his ministry as well. In Luke's account of the life of Jesus, there's the story of the widow's son from a small village Jesus was traveling to. Listen to this story. It's kind of a mic drop story. Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearers stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother, and great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, "A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today." And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. I'll bet it did. I mean, raising somebody from the dead would be pretty big news, right? Quite a buzz down at the local pubs and diners. "Hey, did you hear about the widow's son? Pretty remarkable, eh?" Absolutely. But not for his mom. It was more than remarkable. It was the most powerfully joy-filled day she had ever had in her whole life this side of heaven. What started out that morning as the darkest day of her life results in the most glorious days that could ever be. I just want to say this with just a little bit of boldness. How foolish not to put your faith in Jesus. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. And as we've said, if we find out this was a hoax, we've had a great time. It's been a good life. There's good things that come out of this story. In fact, choosing to follow Jesus is simply choosing the very, very best. His wisdom is better than the world's wisdom. In fact, the world's wisdom described in Scripture is called foolishness. It's hollow and full of pathetic lies, and this culture lies like crazy, like no other that's been before it. There's another story similar in the sense that it was a child, only 12 years old. It was the daughter of a Jewish synagogue leader during Jesus' ministry. It was his only daughter as well, and she was now sick and near death, and he came to Jesus and he pleaded for him to come to heal his daughter. And as Jesus started to go with Jairus, the synagogue leader, to his house, Jesus was interrupted by others who needed his healing and his attention, and he stopped to minister to them because that's who he is. And as he was speaking with a woman in the crowd, a messenger came with the news that the man's 12-year-old daughter had died and that there's no use troubling Jesus to continue to come. It's an awful thing to imagine, the death of a child. And some of you don't have to imagine that because you experienced it. But here's what the story shares in Luke chapter 8, verse 50. But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. And then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat, and her parents were overwhelmed. I'm sure they were. And I can't explain to you why Jesus heals some even in this day and some he doesn't, and especially little children. But I can assure you this, that those little children are in the safest place that could ever be. Even though we grieve, we're destroyed. Not a day, not a moment goes by. But we will. See, this is the promised hope of the resurrection. We will see them again. That's the deal. For eternity, not just a pinprick. So can we imagine somebody being raised from the dead? Not exactly, at least from my part. I don't know anyone who's been brought back from the dead, but I've heard some stories. And they call them paranormal stories today, not miraculous. Paranormal means beyond scientific understanding. In other words, miraculous. I mean, if you're on the table and you're dead and you're brought back to life, would you not say that's pretty miraculous? I don't really care how it happens. If you're dead and you're brought back to life, that's miraculous. Needless to say, this 12-year-old's parents were beside themselves. It was another powerfully joy-filled day. And the evidence was there. The resurrection power from Jesus, their daughter's second chance at life, miraculous. There was also Jesus' good friend, Lazarus, who had died. His name, well, Mary and Martha were good friends with Jesus along with their brother Lazarus. And so they sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, but Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days longer. He even stated, hey, don't worry about it. Lazarus' death or Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. But you'll need to explain that one to Mary and Martha, who buried their dead brother Lazarus in a tomb while Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. But when you read the account of the story, there were reasons Jesus stayed where he was. It was that God would be glorified and that people would believe when Lazarus was raised from the dead, that people would believe that Jesus is who he said he was. And by the time Jesus arrived at the tomb, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And when Jesus commanded that the stone be rolled away, Martha objected and said, hey, he's been in there 4 days. Let's not do that. But they did it anyway. And after Jesus prayed to his Father that his Father would be glorified in this, here's what happened in John 11. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. And we're told that after that, many believed in Jesus. I'm sure they did. Wouldn't you? He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. It was another powerfully joy-filled day. And at my mother-in-law's funeral just a few days ago, as much sorrow and grief as there was in the loss, especially with all the grandchildren, all 10 of whom follow Jesus, which is a grandmother's great legacy. As much sorrow as there was, it was a powerfully joy-filled day. Do you know why? Because of resurrection power. In fact, they made Judy look like a Manhattan businesswoman. We all said she was wearing more makeup then than she's ever worn in her life. She looked great. By the way, at funeral homes when people say, oh, they sure look good, that's rarely the case. That's just rarely the case. But we all knew that wasn't Judy anyway. She's long gone. She never even died, because with resurrection power, you pass from life to life. You don't touch death. We just don't understand that. So my favorite resurrection story, as we draw to the close, is of many people being raised from the dead, and it happened while Jesus was hanging on the cross of all times. He was hanging on the cross for our sins. And after enduring all that he did, after saying his final words just before he died, here's what happened in Matthew 27, verse 50. Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split apart and tombs opened up. And the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. And I'm going, what? This is a riot of a story. Here, you got to get the picture. First of all, imagine being dead, and then imagine coming out of a tomb or casket that you have no recollection of being placed in. Why would you? Then imagine realizing you were dead, but you're not now. I mean, just think about that. Imagine seeing other people coming out of their graves in the cemetery that you were in, that you didn't even know who had died, or maybe you did, and you even went to their funeral. But here you all are, and you're a little shocked. Of course, what do you say? Let me dust you off just a little bit. Oh, your makeup smudged. Let me help you out there. And then you look at each other, and you say, but hey, we're alive. Let's go get something to eat. I'm starved. And then just think of the people that you're going to greet when you get to IHOP, when you take a seat in the booth next to some of the people who were at your funeral. That's the story that we have unfolding. Imagine the stir all of these resurrections must have caused. Talk about a powerfully joy-filled day. Unless, of course, you're the ex-spouse. And the new one is thinking, you're kidding. She rose from the dead? Of all the dumb luck. I mean, that, I imagine. Boy, that story could be repeated over and over and over, couldn't it? But see, all of that was Friday. And Sunday's coming. The miracle of miracles. In Matthew 27, where we just read, the verses following tell how Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and took the body of Jesus off the cross and prepared it for burial. But because it was the Sabbath, they couldn't complete all the tasks, and the final preparations would have to wait until the next day. So they rolled a huge stone in front of the tomb, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, Matthew tells us, were sitting across from the tomb, and they were watching this whole thing unfold. In addition, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, went to Pilate to get the tomb secured so that no one could come and take the body of Jesus, claiming he had risen from the dead. So Pilate placed guards outside the tomb and had it sealed, and on Sunday, the next day, the miracles that paved the way for the miracle of miracles began. And here they are. This is how it starts. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. There's three miracles in the first four verses. An earthquake. God sent it. And if you think, well, that's nothing new. We have earthquakes all the time. Well, how about an angel coming down? That's a miracle. And then the angel rolled away the stone that was huge and heavy. Must have been not a little tiny wimpy fluttery angel, but a big angel, strong, strong angel. And then the next thing that happens is the announcement of the resurrection of Jesus for all the world and for anyone who would believe. In Matthew 28, verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen just like he said. Come, you can see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you," and indeed they did. They ran. They told everybody that Jesus has risen from the dead, or that his body's not in the tomb. And we know the story of Peter and John racing to the tomb to look in, and they meet the angels. There's a lot of stories around the resurrection of Jesus, but the most important story for almost anybody is that the resurrected Christ appeared to over 500 people after his resurrection. With nail scars in his hands or wrists. And if you look down at his feet, you can look and see his feet because of the sandals, and you'll see that both of his feet were pierced. And if you're like Thomas, you say, I'm not going to believe it till I see him. Jesus held out his wrist, and he said, put your hand in my side. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. He didn't even have to touch him. So here's the question. Just what does the resurrection mean for you and for me? I want to say it just means everything. That would take me too long to explain. So I'll share two things. The first thing it means is that Jesus redeemed you. And the word redeem means to buy back. Like the store buys back our bottles for a nickel. You're worth more than a nickel. You're so valuable that God sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes would not perish but have everlasting life. He sent him to the cross, and you'll see the cross is still empty because Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And if you need more evidence than what we've shared today, there's no greater evidence than the hundreds of people sitting around you that would gladly stand and tell you how Jesus has changed their life. They would. I'm telling you. There are people in here who have recovered from addiction. There are people who, like Amy, have been through trauma in their life. There are people who have been broken. There are people who have been so depressed and so anxious that they never thought they could see the light of day. And they are standing. They would stand with you and say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what he has done. The reason I say that with such confidence is because it's true. It's because you can know Jesus. Amen. Not just know about him, not the historical document Jesus, but the risen Christ, Jesus. The second thing, and I kind of alluded to it, is the resurrection power of Jesus makes your life new the moment you repent and decide to follow. Paul says, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All of the stuff that we did, the screw-ups in our life, every regret that we have that we wish we could take back, and I would hate to stand here and share with you all of those things from my life. He said, Jesus would say, what things are you talking about? Because when Jesus shed his blood on that cross, it was just a representation of the grace that covers your and my stinking past. And so we also believe not only can you know Jesus, you can find freedom. Woohoo! Yippee! I mean, it's great. You can find freedom. We no longer have to be who we once were because Jesus makes us new. And today could be the best day of the rest of your life. And by the way, actually, there is no rest of your life with Jesus. It's just life. Just life, because Jesus is our life. And you pass from life to life even when people perceive that we have died. Why not make it another powerfully joy-filled day? Amen? If you're thinking, wow, I came in here just checking it out, but I think I'm going to leave here following Jesus, would you do me a favor and tell the person next to you that brought you, hey, I'm gonna follow Jesus. I'm gonna do that. And if you'd like a little more help discerning what that means, you can stop by the Discover East Point room on your way out. There are people in that room. They'll help you with next steps. If you are a person who's ready to be baptized into Christ Jesus to identify with him in his death, burial, and resurrection, you can do that. We have towel shorts. Oh, yeah, shirts. Yeah, we definitely have shirts. And hair product. And hair dryers. So if you want to get baptized and then go to brunch, we'll get you all fixed up. It'll be a powerfully joy-filled day. It'll change the rest of your life, because the rest of your life will simply be life. All the way. Amen? Oh, wow. It's good stuff. Yeah. Let's pray, and then we're going to share the Lord's Supper together as we remember Jesus. Let me pray for you, and if you'd like to use your words in prayer to just say, I surrender to you, Jesus. I'm accepting your gift of love and grace for me now. I repent of my past sins. You just say that to him even as I pray. Let's pray together. Well, God, I believe in you so much. I believe you're the maker of heaven and earth, and that you gave life to all of us who gather in this room together today to celebrate the resurrection power that you provided for your Son to be given on in our behalf to save us from sin and death. And so with that, Lord, we cannot give enough thanks. We can't honor you enough. There's no one else who deserves praise like you deserve praise on this very day. And so we praise you. We shout to you hallelujah from within our hearts that we have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And that there are people who have gone before us and they now dwell with you and they are so free from addictions or from cancer or whatever the issues were that took their life here on this earth. As followers of Christ, we know that they have eternal life with you. May you be blessed, praised, and glorified as we remember the gift of your Son to us even now. In Jesus' name, amen.